This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Well, I mean, maybe their team doesn't like each other then if they don't have group chats. But, I think that, that's just a player, and enjoying those opportunities. So I think that our team does not care about anything that they say. And there's been a lot of chatter and talk from individuals, but, we care about one thing in this room, and we have millions of people that are watching us and supporting us around this country, and we're very prideful in playing for them and the guys in the room. So it's an opportunity of a lifetime for us.
Two worlds collide, rival nations. It's a primitive.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
Man, Woody, you are jacked up. Boy, you just keep it rolling here. Hey, we're lucky enough to have former first-round pick of the Panthers defenseman Eddie Jovanovski doing some work with the team on TV right now as we get set for round two tonight, the championship game of Canada and the USA. Eddie, good morning, bud. How you doing?
Morning, Joe. Funny you guys bring the old Canadian on for this game here.
Hey, so we've heard Tkachuk, who, by the way, is so good for business in this country and for the Panthers, right? I'm sure everybody in the organization is ready to kiss him when he gets back with all this stuff. But, hey, give me the side from Canada. They got embarrassed. They're up in Montreal. They lose 3-1. The fight start the whole deal. How does Canada come back tonight? What do you expect?
Well, I think they're going to be ready. Obviously, it's going to be an emotionally filled game. I mean, you look at over how many years the rivalry between Canada and the U.S., they're always epic, and it's going to be a hard-fought match. I'm not sure we're going to see UFC to start the game, but it's fast. You hear a lot of the players talk about just the fastest hockey they've played, especially when you get the best on best. You're going to get that, but it's going to be a tight game. It's very exciting, and boy, it put hockey kind of at the talking point right now with this four nations. It's been excellent.
Yeah, Eddie, I was going to ask you, were you surprised at how this thing has blown up in such short order? And it's like tonight, it's must see TV for just about any sports fan.
Right, it is. Well, and when you look at this game here tonight, I mean, obviously prime time. The USA versus Canada in Boston, great hockey market. But you're right. I was out this morning and I came across three or four people walking their dogs, and they're like, "Joel, we can't wait for this game tonight."
Right.
So, I mean, you never really hear that. I mean, you obviously hear it a lot more now, just how good the Florida Panthers are. And so you're getting a lot of that back in this market. But you're talking all across the United States now and the world. This is center stage here tonight.
Hey, Eddie, help me out with that, because I think we are all surprised. Maybe you weren't the way that started the first time they played each other with the Tkachuk brothers jumping right out and fighting Hagel and getting going, and then brother steps in and he's doing it. Did that surprise you? Because it got everybody really juiced up for sure.
I guess you can say it was a little surprising. I think just on the kind of magnitude of the game and usually in these international events, you're not really seeing it, but it's not an international event. You know, it's run by the NHL and the NHLPA. So all these, everything goes as far as the physical part and the fighting. So to see the three fights in the 9 seconds, I'd be lying to say it didn't surprise me, you know. So, but it certainly set the mood for the game. And, you know, when you see games like this, there's not anyone turning away from hits. I mean, everyone's finishing their checks, letting you know it's going to be a long game. Pucks are going into the corner, and guys are finishing their plays. But I don't expect anything here different tonight. Who knows?
Yeah. You
know, who knows? The puck drops. Maybe they kind of do round two. You know, they're really kind of set the stage.
Right. It'd be crazy.
But I'm certainly looking forward to it, man. It's going to be awesome.
So, you know, the Panthers have had a big investment in it, in all the players. And you're kind of getting a situation now where, you know, you got Sam Bennett on that side and you got Tkachuk.
Yeah, Reinhardt's over there.
You don't want to
get
any of the Panther guys. You don't want any of your guys to get hurt. But you want to
see it.
You want to see the action, right?
No, for sure. And you know, it's all, you know, when you lace up and you're playing against each other, I mean, it's all kind of business at that moment, right? After this is done here tonight, you're going to walk into your respective locker room and you're going to chirp each other. It depends on how this goes. But, yeah, you're playing for each other when you're back, you know, playing for your club team. But, you know, when it comes to these situations here, you're playing for that logo and that flag that you're representing, and you want to make everyone in your country proud. And I think that's how I see it. It's no different from anyone that plays in the events. You know, I've played, you know, during the Olympics, you're playing against guys that you play against and your teammates. But when it's all over, you're all buddies again, and you're back chasing that same dream on winning a cup.
Eddie, because you have been through some of this and representing Canada when you were playing. So I always wonder, United States has never been more popular than it is right now. And like I said, what Matthew Tkachuk and those guys have done for it in this country and the development of hockey for the programs they're doing for these young guys now. What's it like up in Canada? Is it a big deal tonight for the Canadians? Are the people up there, or are they just, I mean, it's your sport, man. We're just kind of copying it now. How's everybody treated up there?
Well, if this doesn't go the way that I'm saying winning a hockey game, it could be a national travesty in Canada. You know, to re-examine kind of everything on what's going with the program and so on and so forth. Yeah, no, Joe, it's huge. It's huge in Canada. You know, the whole country will be tuned into this. And, you know, obviously hockey, you know, is huge in Canada. And this game will be definitely front and center, just like it is right now when you look at kind of what this team has done for the United States. I mean, Matthew Tkachuk, you know, he's got the hockey world by its balls right now.
Yes, he does. Big ones. Yeah.
You know, up, you know, center stage, well-spoken, comes from a great hockey family, his brother in that situation getting to play together. So they've really become kind of the face of that team. And we're so lucky to have him down here in Florida. So, yeah, it's a kind of a win-win for everyone. But all in all, I just hope to see a great competition and a great hockey game.
They got to be a little edgy up in Canada. This may be the, you know, they lose this one, it kind of may signal the changing of the guard in a lot of people's mind. And they've had a stranglehold on that title for a long time. And it's kind of on the ice right now.
Yeah, you're right. And there has been, and you can see from the United States Development Program through the World Juniors, you can see the product is really good. And you can see a lot of these players that are representing the United States, very, very good players, from the goaltender, from Connor Hellebuyck out, the defenseman, the group, the crop of forwards that they have, they're elite. You know, and yeah, Canada's always kind of been at the forefront and at the top of that. But it makes for healthy competition. You don't like to see one team or one country kind of run away with it every time. I think this rivalry, and just to see where the crop of players are today, this is going to last for a long time, because I tell you what, the crop of players that are right now that are kind of young to middle-aged pros are going to be around for a long time representing their countries.
Yeah. Hey, I'll leave you with this. Give me a guy or two that's going to be feeling some pressure if they don't produce tonight for the Canadian team.
Well, always goes the usual. I mean, you look at Sidney Crosby, obviously 36 years old. He's been a beast. But you're going to look to Nate McKinnon, and you're going to look to, you know, Connor McDavid, obviously, on the front end. You got probably Jordan Binnington in that. I will say you couldn't shove a grease BB up his butt right now. But overall, you know, there's going to be a little bit of pressure, obviously, on the goaltending in this situation. But I tell you one thing, Jordan Binnington won a game 7 in that building to win a Stanley Cup. Yeah. Leave you with that little nugget.
Yeah. I appreciate you coming on in the middle of all the projects you got going on, my man. Thank you, because I knew you'd get us all fired up, give us a chuckle today. Thank you, brother.
All right, guys. Anytime. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, you too. Ed Jovanovski, former Panther, join us. He's been through it. My man's been through it. He's been up there.
Yeah.
He says it affects people.
No, well, you know, it's funny because we were talking about it a little bit off the air. You know, so much of the Canadian game, all those Canadian teams that have come down here and now are in the United States. And Joe, when the Panthers first started here, and they started talking about youth hockey, I'm going, that's never going to catch on. I mean, it's still red hot. All these kids playing hockey. They got the new complex in Fort Lauderdale. They had it in Coral Springs. They've got another one in Hollywood out west.
Yeah.
And there's leagues all over. And so now, like you said. Instead of some of those places where the teams were in Canada, now they're down here developing the youth down here that are starting to come into the league, and I think that's part of where the United States has caught up a little bit to those Canadian teams.
So you know it's funny too. So the Junior Panthers, big part of it, were big, and my nephews played in it, and so I have noticed a lot of the former Panther players stayed down here, lived down here. Their kids started playing.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of former guys, kids down here that are a big part of the success of the program.
So I remember when they first started, you know, AJ's kids started playing hockey. And who was the first coach? Really good guy. The Panthers' first coach down here. Really a good guy, right?
Oh, God.
And so you got AJ, who's a, you know, from, he's from the Bayou. He's, from reserve.
Used to not having shoes on.
Reserve Louisiana.
Chasing alligators around. Yeah.
Chasing alligators and snakes and stuff like that.
We're just kidding, AJ.
So he's sitting there.
Dewey.
So he's literally sitting at the game watching his sons play. And the head coach of the team, McLean, was it?
Doug McLean.
Doug McLean. So Doug McLean's kid is on the team, too. So AJ's sitting there talking to Doug McLean. He's telling me this, talking to Doug McLean during the game. And Doug says, "Oh, geez, you know, they need to start doing this with their defense." And AJ's going, "Nah, man, this is what AJ's questioning the
never
NHL
been around
coach,
the game his
never
whole
been
life.
Around the game, but AJ was, you know, he was certain that his way was the best way.
We could do a full show on our good friend AJ Dewey. I get a call
I'm waiting for the perfect time to get him on our Out to Pasture podcast. Because
he's a loose cannon right now, but I will tell you, one day I get a call from I'm at an event and they go, "I got to tell you, AJ Dewey's watching his kids play football. He's out of control."
Yeah,
he was that guy on the sideline, like he was that crazy parent.
Yeah,
I said, "Bro, how can you have played and become that crazy parent?" And then they go, "Hey, that's not all. His kids are playing at St. Thomas," and they said, he would see a coverage he didn't like, and he'd walk to coach and tell him. Hey. He'd tell him about Arnsparger. Hey. Like you can't do that. You got to cover that guy. Oh God.
We played a charity softball game against the cast of Happy Days at Bobby Maduro Stadium, right? And they were playing. We played after they had a minor league game. Minor league baseball game, which is a professional game, and then we were the second act. We were playing against, and so we're sitting up in the stand, and the game goes into the real game goes into extra innings, right? And AJ's up there. Hey, we supposed to be playing here at 3:30, you know, it's our time now. So AJ between jumps over the thing, goes he's toe to toe with the umpire. "You need to quit this game. We got a game. We're waiting for our game." He's arguing with the umpire.
I'm not surprised
about "You need to stop this game so we can play against Ralph the Mouth and whoever else was on that thing."
We could do
Fonzie.
AJ. You travel with AJ on the menu. Yeah. Never like was on the menu. Can't you make me AJ? Why can't you just order something on the friggin' menu? Yeah. He's a different dude, man, besides being a great player. We got to go to break here. We've got a lot more stuff. We got to check in with the chef. We got more stuff to get to.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for weather, brought to you by the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, your accident attorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 71 degrees at the moment. No rain in the forecast. Looking like another nice day out there. And before we get back to the show here, I want to let you know the Renaissance Festival is back in South Florida. WQAM has got your chance to win tickets. Travel back in time to the 16th century. More than 100 artisans selling their crafts and more than 100 performers. For your chance to win, go to WQAM.com contest page and register, Joe and Bo.
All right, thank you, Woody, for a lot of stuff going on there, man.
Big weekend.
Yeah, lot going on. Hey, so we had Don Strock on Out the Pasture, and Stroker's at that age.
Yeah,
he doesn't hold back on how he feels.
I think when Don was still 35 or 30 or 25, he didn't hold that much back anyway.
No, he actually didn't. Right? No, you're right, but. He had some pretty strong comments for the head coach and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. So Don Strock, you know, when we got him, I kind of started thinking about Don, known him for a long time, obviously, he's got to be the guy that has spent most one-on-one time or close time with Don Shula in both of their careers.
Right next to him.
Right. I mean, because he was game plan nights. Meetings,
helping call plays, He saw every good and bad thing out
every
of Don
good,
Shula.
And he heard every good and bad thing that came out of his mouth. And so he's got that with him, and he's got a great perspective on, you know, look, and like you said, he's not afraid to
he goes
to
some of the
like
games. He goes over there and watches stuff. And hey, he's like everybody else, man. This thing's been on a drought for a long time. We're gonna get back to a bunch of Dolphin stuff, Bo, while I got you here. And we've got the combine coming up and pro days and the draft right around the corner. But first, we got to take a second here to talk to the man at the Catch and Cut Restaurant in Las Olas. Chef Andre joins us this morning. Chef, how you doing?
What's up, guys? Appreciate it. Thanks for having me again.
Hey Chef, you're not going to be up in Boston for that hockey game up there. I know you're a New England guy, and you try to get up to that place, that hellhole up there in Boston as much as you can.
Hey, listen. I mean, you've seen the Instagram of that hockey game. It was fantastic. It kind of reminds me of 1980 again a little bit. So hopefully we pull it off tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Hey Chef, before I forget, man. What's hot? I always love it. What's hot and what's new on the menu that you guys got rolling? I'm getting nothing but compliments. I did a charity event this past weekend, and this one might not shock you. It was about your waiters and how their clients follow them to these restaurants and, like, literally They know what they want. They call them professional waiters and how good these guys are.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I've coached hockey for a lot of years, youth hockey. It's all about the locker room. Same thing here. I'm trying to create a really good family environment. I think we've done a great job taking care of the local clientele that's been coming in. But now my major focus is on the staff. It's about creating a really good culture within. And, you know, they always say happy cows make happy milk. And it's so true. And you're starting to see our servers are getting a good following. They're creating call parties at this point. But, you know, I got to give a reason for my staff to come back day after day. And if I can create a winning culture, I think we're going to have nothing but success down the road.
Well, I got to say, I've been kind of thinking about this a little bit because I had a chance to eat some food from Chef Andre's son. I was someplace where I was a meal there, and he served some coffee-crusted lamb chops, one of the best things I've ever eaten. So I think your son's got a little challenge to your chefing ability there, Dondre.
He's keeping a close eye on me. He's seeing what I'm doing from Chicago.
Yeah.
Hey, Chef, I do want to ask you, though, you do new things on the fish, or do you stick with kind of the same menu week to week, or how you doing that on the scouting report side?
You know, part of the name is Catch and Cut, so we always have a new catch special. We always have a cut special. Now we're throwing in some sushi specials on their weekly basis. I'm changing the oysters up all the time. Yesterday we had a meeting about going into our summer menu, what that's going to bring. You know, hopefully I can bring more of my little New England influence on the summer menu. So we're having a lot of fun with this. I mean, I never thought it would be. We have a really great team established with us, and I'm just having a lot of fun with it. It's enjoyable.
Chef, has the start of this thing surprised you on just how popular and how it's gone so far?
Yeah, I was talking to one of the partners this morning, and I was like, you know, it's amazing. This is our fourth week, and I feel like we're 4-0 already, and it's been just absolutely fantastic. You know, we came in fully structured, fully organized. We just plugged and played. But I'm ready to open a second one.
Okay. That's a motivated guy right there.
That's right.
There you go. Hey, Chef, it's great having you, man. And I got to tell you, people are really raving about what you've done here the first few weeks. Incredible.
I'm sitting right next to this guy, Joe Rose, here, Chef. He hasn't even been in yet. I keep telling him, come on, you got to come in. He goes, you know, I'll come in every day. You know, we got to – got to find some way to drag my man in here.
Chef, I'll come in. You sit down with me, Chef, and I'll come in with the wife. It'll impress her with you there.
All right, let me know. I look forward to it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Chef, thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. Chef Andre, if you get a chance, Catch and Cut in Los Olas, on Los Olas Boulevard, and whether you like the seafood side or those prime steaks, it's incredible. I never get compliments on anything, and then somebody will start talking about the new restaurant. It's great.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it brings this Allen Brothers beef from Chicago that's like world renowned. And boy, I tell you what, the steaks are just out of this world. I got to stop going there because I'm eating too much.
No, you got your weight down. You're doing great, Bo. Yeah, you don't even look like the guy used to. I've seen the 290-pound Bo, and I've seen the 240 when they moved you to, like, outside to be a pass rusher. And I said, man, Bo, you've tried it all through the years, brother. I've seen that thing very flexible.
My weight was at 245 for 5 or 6 years every week because we had to be it on.
Yeah.
And then Coach Shula gave me, you know, we said, look, I'm going to move you down to – now you're going to play in three-point stance. You're going to be playing against those 350 pounds.
How much he give you at that point?
He said, I'll let you get up to 248. And I said, 248, that's 3 pounds. And he said, okay, I'll give you 250. 5 pounds. He gave me 5 more pounds to play against the big behemoths out there.
Don Strock said one of the nicest things that stuck with me. I haven't said anything to you because I don't want to get, like, you know, stroker talk. And I've said the same thing to everybody when I got there. You're an all-pro outside linebacker. And they moved you into a defensive end position where you could have just stayed outside with your build and dominated for 10 or 12 years, and you took one for the team.
Well, look, they you know,
I mean, how do you go about it? They went that three-man front, and, Bo, you're playing against beasts
big
every
guys.
Week.
That, big and, you know, we used to play a head-up three-man front. You just send head up to that tackle, And you had to, you're responsible for each gap on both sides.
I just remember Hog Hanna, that beast of it. He's the best offensive lineman at that point in football.
Best offensive lineman. And I remember he played guard, and I would line up head up on the tackle, and every now and then it seemed like whenever we played New England, we would sink down a little bit where I would sink down and then I'm playing head up on the guard.
Sink down's not good.
I'm playing head up on John Hanna. And you know, John Hanna was the perfect build for a guard. Big wide, big lower. I told him when he bent down to get in the stance, you could show a double feature from the drive-in movie on his ass.
Man.
I mean,
he was
big and
dude.
Thick, but he had big legs, small upper body, and I felt like, you know, I had to get underneath him, and I felt like his nose was about 3 inches off the ground. And so I'd dig my head, I'd stick my head back in my shoulder pads because I knew he was going to come out like a battering ram. And what a beast.
But Don talks about it. I thought it was really cool that he said, hey, I got to tell you something, man, and that's after years. I think everybody noticed on the other side of the ball, you took one for where, again, You could have made a lot more money. You could have dominated, and he did.
But look,
I was glad to see you move inside. You know,
they brought in Bob Brzezinski, and we said Larry Gordon.
That's right.
And they moved AJ back to the middle linebacker. So it was a restructuring. And I was just happy to be on a football team.
I got you.
I was happy to line up and play.
I got you, but I just thought that was pretty cool. Don talked about that, and that's one of the great stories. And
but you got to check it out at outofpasturepodcast.com. One of the great storytelling. He talked a little bit about that little hook and lateral play, and because he was right there on the he was
so
right
to me,
call.
I thought the play to be fair, how they beat the New England Patriots, Devontae Parker and everybody, and then Kenyon Drake took it to the house.
Yeah,
great play. But that ours a playoff game, were way, way down, and Don brought us all the way back. Took the lead in the game.
The circumstances,
because
we were down. I think we were down 24-0 at one point. I mean, like in a blink of an eye, San Diego's throwing the ball over. Fouts just throwing it all over, and then we go into that.
We couldn't get first down,
and then all of a sudden, you know, you run that play, and no one thought it was going to work. He said, look, let's try to dig it out.
He threw the ball
perfectly.
He threw to Duriel Harris the ball perfectly, where he had to lunge out and catch it and flipped it all. And, you know, it was just such a well-run play where everybody thought we were just going to throw it up in the end zone and whoever came up with that. But Don talks about all that stuff. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
And how it – forgot the name of the damn play, 87.
I forget what it was. And I, you know, everyone says, well, it's a hook and ladder or hook and lateral. I don't know what you call it, but it worked.
We tried in practice. It never worked. It looked like, come on, God damn, get your act together. Run the damn thing. He runs it in the game, and everything's perfect in the frigging game where we're getting our butts kicked. We come all the way back to take the lead.
Yeah.
We got to go to break here. We do have more stuff to get to. Don't go away because we got some Dolphin stuff to get to. With three cuts, I haven't talked to you since three guys were released, so we have some more needs now. We're going to talk about all that when we come back.
All right, before we get back to it here, we got a contest, a slam dunk in Vegas, travel and accommodations for one winner and three guests in Las Vegas, plus $20,000. Easy to enter. Download the free Odyssey app, log in and register for an account, and listen to WQAM or any participating station. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your entry. You can do it every day. The slam dunk in Vegas. For your chance to win, just listen to WQM on the free Odyssey app. Travel dates are March 17th to the 22nd of 2025. Win in Las Vegas. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. This is a national contest, Joe.
All right. Thank you, Woody. Appreciate that. Ken Bocamper with us. All right. We haven't talked much about this, so looks like we're going to have three new starters needed in the secondary, free agency as well as a draft. God, Bo, I don't want to get away from the O-line and the importance of fixing the O-line, but now you need a cornerback. You don't have enough cornerback.
I was a little surprised about Fuller, you know, right?
I just figure his knee must be bad.
There's got to be some reason why. You know, you could see it with Durham, you know, that – you know, the lack
got off to a bad start catching a football
game. I really expected a lot more out of him last year, and then he just never seemed to recover from that rough start.
And then Jonnu Smith took over and had a lot of catches,
But, you know, it is. You start thinking about it, and, you know, look, I'm going to stay steadfast on those offensive guards. I just know, but and have find some other way to fill out those. But it seems like every day now it's getting a little bit more and more, you know, more and more spaces to fill out there.
You need a couple safeties because I saw the report yesterday, and I'm sure you saw it. Javon Holland looks like they're going to let him. They've told him hit the free agent.
Yeah, I don't think that's a surprise to anybody that really kind of knew anything about that team. But you could see that coming. You know, it was Christian Wilkins too, right? Very similar type of a situation. You draft a guy, you know, you try to develop him, and then you just let him go elsewhere. But I don't know. I really don't know how they're going to fill all these needs. Now the one thing they can do, they can fill some roster spots by getting rid of some guys that, you know, and look, the Cam Smiths, I've seen enough
they're
of
not
them.
Gonna, I know you I, have. I'm with you.
I'm just saying myself. This is just me talking. It's not the organization talking. I've seen enough of Cam Smith to know that Cam Smith's not going to be a good player on this football team. I've seen enough of, who's the tight end?
Tanner Connor.
These guys that are just out there taking up a roster spot, you know, those roster spots are valuable. I don't care if they're
practice squad or whatever,
because we've seen guys come off the practice squad and developed into some pretty good players.
You know,
and so if you got a guy for 3 years, he can't get on the field, then get the hell out of here.
So there is a long. You're right. We've been very, very patient. Eric Ezekiel.
Yep.
What?
Yeah,
and he shows up in a preseason game. He looks great.
Yeah,
and then Bo, that's it.
Yeah,
I think he suited up once
what about
or twice.
Channing Tindall. Look, special teams guy, but you know he's a third round pick. You got to be more than a special teams guy.
So Bo, he had a really good last preseason game.
Yeah,
he had a double digit in sacks. Yeah. I thought, man, maybe tackles. I thought, man, maybe he'll they're going to use him.
Yeah.
And they don't trust him, obviously, because they had a bunch of guys get injured, a linebacker.
Yeah, I mean,
he did
I mean,
not get playing time.
I don't know that he got. I don't know that
outside
he got more than
teams.
A dozen snaps, 20 snaps, during the course of the season. So what's the point? You know, I mean, if you know you're not going to get the production you want, anybody in there is another opportunity to maybe strike gold with somebody. So. I don't know. I mean, it's
so let's talk about the guards from last year. They can't just like overhaul everything.
Robert Jones wants to come back. I saw
would
that.
Would you bring Robert Jones back?
Of the two, I would. I think they're both
Isaiah Wynn, Liam Eichenberg.
I think Liam's run his course. And look, the kid works hard, but he's an off balance guy. You know, you got a guy that's like 6'6", 6'7". Playing guard and you know it I don't know, but to me the inside of the line's got to be better than okay, you know what I mean?
So I saw
Robert Jones okay,
yeah he
you
was
know,
okay,
Wynn, okay, or whoever else we had stuck in there okay, but they got to be better than okay.
So I want to ask you this is an interesting one. We got Bradley Chubb who's 100%.
That's a tough one.
I know he makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
Jalen Phillips coming back from ACL, although it's going to be 9 or 10 months, and that guy should be ready to go. And I know he's had two bad injuries.
Yeah.
But I see everybody's talking and has an edge rusher
as a
priority, and I'm like, my God.
Well,
that
so,
tells me one of those guys not going to be around.
Well, so, you know, and look, I'm going to preface this by saying really good players, Chubb and Phillips, right?
Healthy. If they're healthy
great.
Right now, they'd be lining up, right.
How many times let's go back to UCLA for Phillips. You know, got concussions there. They got multiple concussions there. Missed a year, came back, and this and that. So when you look at his history, there's a lot of injury in that history. And look, it's no knock on
Well, they're counting
Jalen.
On him coming back.
No doubt they are. But they counted on him coming back this year, and he didn't make it through the year. You know, and some guys, you've seen guys like that, Joe. Guys that they're good, you know, great players, but they just
can't
they get bad. It's bad luck. And so really for Jalen, it's been nothing but poor luck. Great player, but he hasn't been on the field much. Now you got Chubb, who's come through an older guy, coming through an ACL, and I'm glad they didn't have him play the last three games because it gives him more time to heal up. But he's another year older, right? And he hasn't played for a year and a bit.
You're right. Since the Baltimore game the year before.
So what do you get there?
Yeah.
Coming back. And look, it may very well be that Jalen comes back and has a Pro Bowl year, and Chubb comes back and has a Pro Bowl year, but you've got to overcome those injuries that have gone through. And so those are a concern. And look, I know that, you know, you got Chop Robinson, who in the second half of the season played pretty well, but I still think there's room for Chop. I think Chop's got to get better against the run. You know, he developed as a pass rusher.
Then he becomes an every down player.
Then he becomes an every down guy.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't an every down guy last year. And he's got to do that. Especially if you lose Chubb or Phillips, Chop has got to be an every down guy.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'd like to see Bradley Chubb.
And not only that, but you look in that middle of the line of scrimmage and in that nose tackle. You know, the nose tackle, if you're playing a four-man line, two tackles inside, one tackle inside if you're playing a three-man line with a nose tackle, you know, you've got to find maybe someone.
Oh, no, D-tackle's on the priority list, too.
Exactly.
So that's my point. You need a backup quarterback, too, which is going to be a veteran most likely.
Yeah.
But you start to look, we're talking this in the last 3 years, this by far the most, because these are frontline guys we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the back of don't worry about it, develop, you can be at the end of the 53-man roster. Yeah. We're talking about frontline guys that need to play.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen with Calais Campbell, and I don't know what's going to happen with Teron Armstead. And, and by the way, those are kind of two important decisions because you need to know.
Those decisions need to be made. And if I'm guessing right now, I'm guessing Calais is probably the guy that comes back. You know, if you're just looking at
everybody thought at the Super Bowl, Teron was making it sound like he wanted to come back.
Well, no, I've been around Teron, and I believe Teron still wants to play. But I think Teron's a smart guy, and he knows what his limitations are. He knows how that leg felt in the latter part of the season. He knows that's an issue.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm going to follow up with that, because we've been talking about Paul and him. So if he understood, like, look, I can play, and you guys know I can play, but I need to be a backup.
There's a lot of people talking about Teron coming in, playing, and then you got Paul as a backup. I would switch that around. I would put Pierre. I would put Paul starting, and then have Brandon as the almost Joe, because we've seen this on the side, almost like an assistant coach. You know, to work with those guys. He's a guy that likes to give his knowledge to people.
Yeah.
Be there, and then you be the backup. You be the backup if either one of those tackles, falters.
Well, Teron's been so good with all those guys.
Look, Teron, if you talk to Chop would tell you that Teron was as much of an influence as getting him to the point where he got to as Calais.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, two really, really good guys.
Oh, guys you love to have on the team.
So I know a lot of people are down on Tyreek Hill, and he did it to himself.
Yeah.
Everything he's done to himself. But and people are still talking about him getting traded. I don't think he gets traded. I think he's going to be back.
No, I think he's going to be here.
And listen, if we get the good Tyreek, and some of it's not on him, some of it's got to just – they got to get some things worked out in the passing game to get him more comfortable in the routes.
But that's their problem.
Right.
Tyreek's problem is Tyreek.
Yes.
Tyreek's got to take care of Tyreek, and Tyreek has to be a better person on this football team. Certainly the captaincy to me is off the table. It's off the table for this year. You want to come back and
you got behind Don Strock on that one.
No. I said it on TV a couple of weeks ago. I said if they vote for those captains, and if they're going to vote for those captains, I'd be disappointed if they voted for Tyreek. You just can't quit on a team.
No.
I don't care if it's the middle of the season. I don't care if
it's the
fourth quarter of the last game.
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
It sets a bad precedent. And if you got some young guys in there and go, you can quit on the team and you're going to be a captain the next year, what's the, you know. But look, there's a lot more that Tyreek's got to clean up.
Yes.
Tyreek's got to clean up. Tyreek is one of those guys that, you know, he carries a lot of baggage with him. And you know,
I want to see the Mike relationship.
No fault of his own, and I don't know. But, you know, opening day, you come on, and all of a sudden, you know, you got an altercation with the police.
Yeah.
You're down in the wall.
Wasn't a great start.
No. And, you know, and then there's other stuff, and it's.
I'm sad we're out of time because I want to explain to Bo why Tyreek needs to be a captain, but maybe next week I'll explain that.
He's worried about he's going to quit.
I don't want to ruffle feathers, man. You can't do it. Got to keep everyone happy. That's the Dolphins' motto.
Yeah, there you go. You know what?
Way to go. There you go.
We're out of time, Bo.
You know, the only thing you can tell me about a captain.
Leroy's going to be really upset you cut into his show.
That's all I want to hear about anything that's with the name captain in it. That's all I need to hear from you. Captain Crunch, yes or no?
That's it. That's going to do it. Have a great day, everybody.